From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May the 4th, 2010. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Lots of news from the location-based services marketplace popped last week. We'll look at some of the recent moves by Google, TomTom, and Motorola in a rapidly shifting landscape for onboard and offboard navigation. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Manage your field data and immediately share critical business information across your enterprise. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mobile solutions.
Last week, the companies mentioned in my preamble were actively posturing their strategies for using certain data sources and for leveraging technologies for position accuracy. So, for example, on the data front, Google changed its source for street data in Canada. It had been using TeleAtlas, but now is using sources from the Canadian government and supported by some remotely sensed data. TomTom, which owns TeleAtlas, is releasing a new operating system and opening an app store, I guess along with everybody else. And Motorola has chosen Skyhook's Wi-Fi positioning system over a similar service by Google. It uses this, let's just say, as a first look option for acquiring a location and will only look to Google's if Skyhook fails to provide an accurate location in a timely manner. Obviously, Google was not real happy about that decision. Let's look at some of the common threads here through these moves by each of these companies in the LBS marketplace, if there's anything common at all. I think, though, if nothing else, it certainly signals some sign of maturation in the LBS space. Google, for example, has now cycled through three different data sources. They started with Navtech, they went to TeleAtlas, and now they're kind of using a free or nearly free data sources from the government. And the move by Motorola is interesting because it's plainly looking for the best positioning service, especially on the Android models. And to me, this is just looking to maybe box out some of the competition for smartphones. And TomTom's moved to create a WebKit OS, which is kind of like an API, I guess, and then creating an app store is, to me, simply smart business to extend its brand, because the onboard navigation market is really in a massive state of flux. So to me, it's maturation. Adina, do you have a different take on what's going on?
Yeah, I wouldn't have used the word maturation. I think I'd use keeping your options open. While Motorola had been happy with Google's locating tools up until this decision was made, I think what it really wants to do is say, hey, we've already licensed the Skyhook tools for you, developer people. So, hey, if you want to go Skyhook, you want to go Google, your choice, and you can have that choice here on Motorola. Otherwise, it's my understanding that the developer then has to go and do the licensing on their own. So this just makes it a little bit easier. So I think a lot of these plays have to do with really opening up those options. And if you look at TomTom, building an OS based on WebKit, and I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I think it might mean that if apps are built, they would run on potentially any WebKit-based OS/browser like Chrome or Safari, which could really open things up for the folks at TomTom, sort of getting them further and further away from being hardware providers and really opening up where they can be as software providers and a developer platform for software providers. So I think a lot of this comes out of sort of this insecurity about where the market is going and how fast it's going. I mean, TomTom keeps saying, oh no, PNDs are still around, but we all know that's not true. So they've really got to open up their wings and be ready for whatever's coming down the pike.
Yeah, and in fact, I think Gajan, the CEO, if that's the way you pronounce his name, was mentioning cloud services that may be introduced down the road. He said they're not quite there yet. I thought that was an interesting statement. Because if you think of an always connected onboard system, in particular, I think for the car manufacturers, which, you know, that's the way they're going. Very easily, you could open up a car that would use a Wi-Fi system, download data, as opposed to having on a hard disk somewhere or a flash drive in the vehicle. So you know that they want to move to a cloud service, and maybe the only way to get there is to open up the platform for widely diverse apps.
Well, I think that they have to be watching what's happening with the iPhone and with Android. The compelling reason to buy into those two platforms is because of the apps. And that's what everybody will tell you. And not that my Android phone is great, but my Android phone is great because it can do these 17 things. And my iPhone is great because it can do these 18 things. And all of those things are enabled by those platforms. Now, whether you want something closed like the iPhone or open like Android is sort of your choice, but it's really about what can it do and how can I combine the different apps out there for my lifestyle.
Yeah, but I thought in the case of Motorola, the whole reason they went to Skyhook was that there had been some problems with location accuracy, and they wanted Skyhook to make a better a positioning system, because you don't want your friend finder or your Starbucks finder, whatever, to locate you 300 yards from where you should be.
Well, so Motorola was pretty careful about not coming out and saying why they did this.
Yeah.
It sounds like, though, there were certainly rumblings in the developer community, and several developers already were using Skyhook. So it sounds like somewhere somebody decided that it's worth making the investment, you know, to look good to our developers. And then, hey, if they can run ads that say our positioning is better than Google's, well, why not?
I was going to say that was, to me, a real red flag that they were using location accuracy as a selling point, which I had never heard of before. We're going to talk about the app itself, which would be cool, but because now you can locate yourself more accurately, they're almost going to use that as a true selling point.
Right, but you don't sell that to end users. What you sell to end users is the app that takes advantage of that. And thus, the app is much more effective if it has better location positioning.
Right, but I would suspect that that's going to filter down to the consumer end. You know, everybody's using some app with location these days, and eventually we're going to become sophisticated users enough to say that, well, hey, this just routed me to the store, which was really a block down from where I should be. I agree with you right now where we're at, but I think in the future we may just become very sophisticated consumers.
Well, there's we and there's we, right? Regular people don't care how the locating is happening so long as it happens.
Yeah.
In the geek community, that's a whole other thing. And of course, the geek community does not buy an iPhone typically. It buys Android because it wants to hack it and mess around with it. And yeah, those people may well be more interested. The other thing that's interesting about that switch is one of the valuable things that Google was getting from all that locating was all the data that you get from all that locating. Where people are, what other information you can collect about them, link those two up, potentially take advantage of that down the road. Well, if all those check-ins, if you like, aren't happening on Google servers, and instead they're happening on Skyhook servers, then Skyhook's going to get a whole lot more data, isn't it?
Yeah, this is an interesting move, I have to admit.
That goes back to their spot rank tools that we were talking about just last week.
Right.
Right? The more data they get, the better those are going to be, the more valuable they're going to be to Skyhook, and then to the people who take advantage of them for their various and sundry data mining and other sorts of uses. So that's a really interesting thing. And you have to wonder, was there some deal going on between Motorola and Skyhook? Was there some stuff moving in both directions? That I don't know, but that wouldn't be unreasonable for Skyhook to go to some of these large manufacturers and say, hey, put us on there, you know, maybe we'll give you a discount per license because we're really looking to gather up all this data.
Well, and again, that's one of those market maturation things, is now you've got a provider like Skyhook who will aggregate some of this data for you and may be able to spit it out to you in a way that, for whatever purposes, marketing purposes, doing a better job of refreshing your accuracy, whatever that may be, it's a different spin on positional accuracy. And Skyhook is going to use this to its advantage, I think.
Right. And this may actually have more to do with data capture of those check-ins than it does with Motorola or developers or anything else. That may be where the true value is.
It could be some secondary applications that we're not even thinking about at this point that maybe Skyhook has got on the back burner that they may want to provide to these app and develop.
Sure. Well, and of course, it does sort of do that little poke at Google and say, hey, look, you're not the best at everything, and maybe people are going to opt for another option.
Well, and that's the advantage of Skyhook, which has been in this business for quite some time. They've essentially unseated Google. That's the David and Goliath situation.
Right, and they've basically become, if you like, the Intel inside for so many of these apps. And you want it may come. You may be right that people are going to look for the, you know, powered by Skyhook as opposed to anything else. If that is, in fact, they believe that is in fact a better locating system. The other announcement that came out this week that's sort of tangentially related that I think is worth mentioning is from Layar. That's L-A-Y-A-R, sort of the leading augmented reality company that's out there now. And they have launched basically a marketplace where you can buy layers of data to add onto your augmented reality experience. And it's very interesting because it sort of is like the App Store, where the developer gets a chunk and Layar gets a chunk. In this case, the developer gets 60% and the Layar gets 40%, which isn't quite the cut. You get a better cut, 70-30, in the App Store. But the other thing that's interesting is this whole idea that you buy into, if you like, this platform, and then you use that platform's marketplace to get the data to populate it, which to me goes back to that very early GIS model where you bought your GIS from a company and you also bought the data from
it. Yeah, I think this is going to be this is one of those early adopter type situations with Layar. It's interesting to see the model. I like it because they've got the business model in place. Not that it's unique, because you're right, it's just like an App Store format. But, you know, marrying the App Store format with augmented reality, it just is smacking of early adopter. Who's going to try it? Who's going to populate the App Store? And we're going to go from here, I guess, essentially. So it's going to be watch this space type of thing.
Right. Well, and I'm fascinated because, of course, we've been looking for more and more opportunities for those providers of this very specialized kind of data to sell their wares. And certainly the best deal for them is to be have it be licensed for a big player, like Maponix data was licensed by Twitter. But hey, if they can sell some small piece of something for a couple bucks through some kind of iStore to 10,000 people, that'd be okay too. The only limitation seems to be that you buy the data set and it comes down to you and it isn't necessarily updated. So they're going to work on that updating, especially if it's something that's very timely, like real estate for sale, those kinds of things.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that Ocean Globe, a new book by Esri Press, addresses the recent progress in seafloor documentation, bathymetry, and related ocean and marine mapping projects. The book's contributors show how GIS and collaborative mapping are used to share data and information and advance the science of bathymetry. For more information, visit www.esri.com/Esri Press. That's ESRIPRESS. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsbag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is published, either on APB or Directions Mag. I'd like to remind everybody that we have an open call for presentations for our 2010 Location Intelligence Conference. This year focused on geospatial cloud computing. That's our GeoCloud 2010 conference. You can find more information at www.locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.